sir. What is this, some coast music or something?
Are you kidding me? Is that a surf music?
It is. It's surf music, General.
I mean, surf music sounds like it's right out of... This sounds like it's Living Hell music. It's the Vivisectors. What's it called?
Well, the Vivisectors.
The Vivisectors. General. Oh, sorry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. I'm General Galen Shaw.
General, you go to the cacti.
Hey, don't worry about it, sunshine. All right?
Call me sunshine, Mr. Henry.
What?
He called me sunshine.
Who gives a shit? Just...
And it's Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
Oh, my God. And I'm Margaret Gray, and here he is, Mr. Sunshine, Phil Hendry.
Well, I'm sorry. I mean, you guys, can we get through one of these announcements? Hey, look, man, if you start this show off, you know what I'm saying?
What about it?
I called you man, you know, because I want you to just... I want you to know I'm with it. Phil, hey, yeah.
He's with it, Phil.
All right. Yeah, you know, I'm screwing around. What happened to your sense of humor?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with you, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, you're kind of morose and everything.
I'm not morose. I just don't know when you're... I don't know when I'm screwing with you, huh? And I don't know. I mean, you guys were...
Phil, you're the one that started this program in a foul, and I mean a foul stink. It's the... Sometimes you come in here in a mood, and the stink is evident, you know? Not that it's a real stink, but it's a psychic stink. It stinks...
What are you trying to say?
Who are you to ask me anything?
Rats.
All right, wait.
Really bothers me.
Just trying to move it along, you know?
Bud, I'll move you along. I'll move you over to an elevator shaft, and then move you...
Move him along down the elevator shaft.
Oh, look at everyone in here. They're all going, ha, 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 ha. I'm trying to say...
I don't think anybody's laughing that mellifluously, mellifluously, Margaret.
Oh, boy, did you get a load of that?
Hey, Mr. Henry, what's going on with you?
Well, look, if you need to take a few days off to go in for some neurological tests...
No, I'm fine.
I'm saying... Now I forgot what I was saying. It really angers me. I was saying that sometimes there's a stench of the soul. And it happens to poets. It happens to artists. It's happened to me. I'm a singer. And sometimes you feel the stink of the soul.
So you stink?
Yeah, you're stinking.
Oh, man.
All right, wait.
He won't be here to stop me, bud.
Didn't do anything.
All right, hold on. The stink of the soul.
Yes, and that's all I'm going to say. But if you want to know what the stink of the soul may smell like, I give you Van Gogh, General, a man who was a great artist, and he shot himself, and then walked back into town...
Yeah, he walked back into town and did what? Got a suitcase?
Fuck all of you.
Margaret, now come on.
No, Phil, I need to be taken seriously.
You know what? You're the one that walks into this stuff.
I want in on this. I walk into what?
You want to be taken seriously? We got clowns here. This is a clown act. Clown, clown, clown.
But I don't know that I'm 100% clown.
Yeah, when you're here, yes. And you want to talk about Van Gogh, and you want to talk about him shooting himself. What the hell is so funny?
You're the guy that said it. And then he walked back into town to get his suitcase.
Van Gogh did indeed shoot himself and did indeed live for a few hours, I believe, or a day. I don't know how long it was. But he did indeed walk back into town. Now, what he did, I don't know. But he shot himself in the middle of a cornfield or out in the middle of a...
What do you mean, a cornfield?
What do you think I mean by... What? Is he trying to piss me up?
I think he did. A cornfield, bud.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he was literally sitting out in a cornfield and said, I think I'll shoot myself.
You know, I really... folks, I think Phil needs even more of a vacation. I think you should take a year off.
Well, I'm not taking any time off. I thought that was very funny, bud.
What, about sitting in a cornfield?
You know something, bud? You and Bob Green, the two of you guys say cornfield and filth... All kinds of wild pornographic imagery.
You think that?
Yes, I do.
So thank you, Bud Dickman. And Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I got my Audie coming on today.
Oh, Mavis is going to be on, right?
Yeah, she's going to be talking about Dodger baseball. My aunt, you know, is a big Dodger fan. She's particularly a fan of the O'Malley family. And she feels that Walter O'Malley is, I don't know, maybe Walter O'Malley's looking more favorably on the Dodgers now. Because Walter O'Malley, you know, is... passed on. And my aunt has felt for years that Walter O'Malley, the former owner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, had cursed the team, was sending up vibes, you know, from, I don't know, some kind of hell or something.
Thinking Walter O'Malley's in hell.
No, it's a different thing.
Like Walter O'Malley was an evil spirit?
Yeah, like he was getting back at the Dodgers, you know, for losing when he was on the team.
Well, when he owned the team, the Dodgers won
when Walter O'Malley owned the team, they won in 55. When did the Dodgers...
Looking at the wrong person here, Phil.
Well, the Dodgers won in 55, that famous series, 1955, against the Yankees. Yankees were ruling the roost back then.
All right, so they won in 55.
They won in 55. They won in 59 against the White Sox. They won in 63 against the Yankees. They won in 65 against the Twins.
God, Gerald, you know all about stuff and everything.
Yeah, thank you very much. When I get my Polish translation book...
That's it, you know about the stuff.
All right, I know about the stuff. Let me talk about this, okay?
Now I've lost count, man. They won
in 55 against the Brooklyn Dodgers. Then
they were the Brooklyn...
God, Bill, you just hit your own microphone. This is what I mean. All you need to do is go in and run a battery of tests. What they do is hook electrodes up to your brain.
Don't worry about it, Margaret. The Dodgers were the guys that won in 55.
Oh, yeah. No, they won against the Yankees in 55. Then they won against the White Sox in 59.
Let me do it. 1959, they won against the White Sox. The next year, 1955.
What are you saying?
I'm sorry,
I'll do it.
No, you won't. I'll do it. 55, they beat the Yankees. 59, they beat the Reds.
The Red Sox or the White Sox?
White Sox. In 63, they beat the Yankees. In 65, they beat the Twins. And then came another drought that lasted until 81. Now, what happened in the 70s, maybe this is what Mavis is talking about.
Yeah, she's talking about in the 70s, the Dodgers lost to the Oakland A's, and they lost two times the Yankees.
Two times to the Yankees?
Yeah, things like 77, 78.
Two years in a row, huh?
Yeah.
So the Dodgers lost, so what did I just say? They won four.
They won four up until 65.
Yeah, and then they lost to the Orioles the next season. Four games, they got just swept by the Orioles. I remember Boog Powell jacking one out over center field in Dodger Stadium. And then they lost again in 73 or 4, 74. Against the A's. They lost in 77 against the Yankees. They lost in 78 against the Yankees. And they finally won in 81 against the New York Yankees. They won again in 88, and that was the Oakland A's, right?
You're looking at the wrong guy. I don't remember.
I think it was, but you'd have to get Mavis on.
So that's six? Because it's...
Why are you looking quizzically, Phil?
You guys are talking so much, I don't know what I'm talking about. It's six.
Yeah, they won six, and then there was the huge drought of the 90s. And this is what Mavis, I understand, Robert.
Yeah, my aunt believes that the drought in the 90s was Walter O'Malley putting, the evil eye, putting a stink eye on him, the evil eye.
What do you mean, the evil eye?
That's, you know.
So Walter O'Malley, in other words, was cursing them from the beyond.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll talk to Mavis Leonard about that on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You're not telling me you believe that kind of thing, do you?
Margaret, I'm just saying that we're going to talk to the lady.
All right.
Because, you know, when she comes on the air, what are you going to do? Start making fun of her?
I'm not going to do anything of the sort, but my God, we're talking voodoo and the voodoo and the goo-goo. What do they call that?
There's the gree-gree.
The gree-gree, yes. And the witchy queen. All that jazz. Woo!
That gives me the creeps.
It certainly does. What was the movie, Pumpkinhead?
Oh, Pumpkinhead was the monster that the old lady in the woods... Yeah, that was a cool flick. I like that.
The Pumpkinhead franchise.
Yeah, the Pumpkinhead franchise.
Pumping a kid.
He said Pumpkinhead.
Oh, my God. He's laughing at the thought.
Margaret, you brought it up.
I did not bring it up. He mispronounced it.
Yeah, so did. He said pump a kid.
I did not, man. It said Pumpkinhead.
Well, you talk like a freaking regular human being. Pumpkinhead.
That's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said pump a head.
Yeah, I'll bet you do.
Yay!
He waits for these kinds of things to happen.
So we'll talk with her about that. Also coming up is going to be Jack I. Gagner. Jack is going to be discussing Mike Lang of the Pittsburgh Penguins. We found Mike Lang of the Pittsburgh Penguins is one of the great broadcasters of all time. One of the great hockey broadcasters of all time. Neil Rogers, who was a great, great broadcaster that I was very fortunate enough to work with, loved Mike Lang, and he had him on his show. Mike Lang had all of these sayings: scratch my back with a hacksaw, and
what's it again?
Scratch my back with a hacksaw, shave my face with a rusty razor blade, and he was like one of these old school announcers, and Neil just loved him, and so I couldn't quite remember his name, and it found out, yes, it was Mike Lang,
He was born in 1948 in Sacramento. He is an American sportscaster, best known as the radio play-by-play broadcast of the Pittsburgh Penguins. In 2001, he received the Foster Hewitt.
I mean, Fister Hewitt, what a clown. What am I? Everyone knows Foster Hewitt is one of the great all-time hockey announcers. Frank loved Foster Hewitt.
When did Frank listen to hockey?
Frank listened to hockey. He watched hockey his entire life.
Gotta get him on the phone.
Well, get Frankie. Hold on for a minute, bud. I'll do it. Let me dial because...
So Frank is a... I didn't know that Frank was a hockey fan.
Oh, Frank loved hockey. He used to watch the Hershey... there was a team in Pennsylvania.
Hershey Squirts.
Bud, I'm gonna kick you until you're dead.
No, hold on.
It was the Hershey Squirts, but he's sitting there with this...
Well, how can you not laugh at that?
What was the name of the team in Hershey, Pennsylvania? That was Hershey, Pennsylvania, right?
Yes, the Hershey Squirts. What a baby. You know what? Please, God, lift me out of this hell and give me a real professional show to be on. Oh, please, God, in the name of the Father and Son. I'm not even Catholic.
Okay, Margaret, thank you very much. So what we're looking for then is... So we'll talk with Mike Lang. No, we're not going to talk with Mike Lang. We're going to be discussing Mike Lang with Jack I. Gagner. And we're trying to get what?
Got to try to get Frank Gray on the phone, but I don't know where he is.
I told you he's at Rancho Park, for God's...
Well, hello? Hello?
But can you go to another room or something?
The phone's in here.
All right, well, just find out.
Yeah, is Frank Gray there? Is Frank Gray there?
Well, Jesus.
Give me the phone, will you?
What?
Give me the... Don't you dare pull the phone. Hi, this is Margaret Gray. Is my husband Frank there? My husband Frank. Frank? No. I didn't say I want to be Frank. Are you asking me if I'm Frank? And why is that? I sound like a man. You know what? I ought to come through the phone and geld you.
Give me that phone, Margaret.
You tell that.
Tell the starter.
Tell that starter at Rancho Park. I'll know who he is.
Hi. Frank Gray, please. It's Phil Hendry, The Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry, PhilHendrie, Show. You don't know how to spell? SHOW. Yeah. He's transferring it to Frank's phone now. Hey, Frank, it's Phil Hendry. How you doing, buddy?
Better than Custer, young man. What's going on?
Frank, we wanted to talk about Mike Lang. Margaret said you're a big fan of his.
Oh, you're talking about Mike Lang, huh?
Well, I was telling Phil that you went back in the day when you were listening to hockey, you loved Frank Lang, because you listened to him at that time. He was playing or announcing?
I just gotten out of the Army, and I was back in Pennsylvania. It's interesting because Margaret grew up in Pennsylvania. I didn't know he lived there at all. I was in Pennsylvania. And I was traveling around. I was hitchhiking. I was, getting into all kinds of trouble before I knew what it was that I wanted to do.
What time of year was this?
What do you mean, what time of the year?
I mean...
What year, I think, is what he's trying to ask.
Oh, this was in the early 1960s. I was a young man. So I got through Hershey, Pennsylvania, and I listened to the Hershey Squirts. They were in the National Hockey Association or some goddamn thing.
But they were a minor league team.
Yeah, they did minor league, right?
Yeah, they were a minor league team. But I'm listening, and I hear this announcer, and I had a fantastic, fun-filled time listening to her, and I found out her name was Mike Lang, and she'd say things like, scratch my back with a hacksaw and stick it in my...
Well, what about... Phil was just saying, shave me with a rusty razor blade.
Yeah, there's another one. Shave my face, and... And she just lost her... He would talk about certain... There was a player, Shorty Runman, with the Hershey Squirts. She'd say, Shorty Runman, she just lost her liquor license, things like that. So it was...
What's that mean?
It doesn't mean anything, Dickman. It was just a thing.
Well, the announcers, the great announcers, the guys, they have a signature call.
Well, that's the thing that makes a great... Hold on for a minute. I'm talking to my wife. My shot. I already show. Oh, so you want to golf?
Where are you?
I'm out in the middle of the course, but I was just strolling around. Hold on. What's over there?
Parking lot.
Don't laugh, Daryl. Don't laugh.
I know, but...
Don't laugh, Daryl. Because bad things happen when you laugh.
Frank, you know something? Maybe lessons...
Oh, listen to him, will you? Every morning, the same old thing. Why don't you take a golf lesson? My own wife is... He's telling me I need golf lessons. Why in Christ, Margaret?
Would you please watch your language?
Why would you do that?
Because you stink, Frank. You're hitting the ball into a parking lot, into a wash.
All right, just for that, it's a flapjack Sunday on Sunday.
Oh, Frank, I have things to do.
It's a flapjack Sunday. And that means that you're going to have to stay home.
Is this where she makes you a mess of flapjacks?
Oh, hold on. He makes me a mess of flapjacks smothered in sausages. And also I want a bottle of Jack Daniels. And then I sit on my dead ass all afternoon watching baseball. And he has to sit in my lap. And that's how Flapjack Sunday goes.
It's a big waste of my time, Frank.
Well, Margaret, I mean, it should be a nice thing that a man wants to spend Sunday with his wife.
Oh, yeah, sure. All he does is call up his friends and go, guess what? I've got Margaret sitting in my lap. It's a Flapjack Sunday. And then I hear down the phone line, that's what it's like every Sunday, Frank.
Well, you know, learn to live with it, Margaret, because I'm telling you, you cannot talk back to me. I'm the husband. Now, I understand there's women's liberation. I don't really tell you what to do, but when we're on the air, you've got to make it sound like I run you. I mean, I run you like you're a steer through the dusty streets of Kansas City. And the fact...
Margaret.
I will not listen to that. Frank, if you're listening, which I know you are, because you're running over now to your little phone, you're turning everything up, you and I will have some business when I get home.
Oh, my God. Hey, I'll be pissed off about...
I'm a steer running through the dusty streets of Kansas City.
Oh, gee, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, well, you know...
Yeah, well, you know what?
It's going to be a Flapjack Sunday. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Let's take a look now at the traffic here and see what's going on there with Bob Bacon. Bob, what's it look like?
Hey, Phil, thank you. The problem. There's going to be a parliament. Probably about 10 cents. Is the man of theory. I've seen him there, too. You've got the highway and the freeway. Get on the byway and the highway, and you've also got that lead. And also, moving around, you've got to see a little man shamed, and he's shamed of himself because he's wept it, and he wet himself, too. So let's go over to Skyboy down Cleveland.
Come on, my son has got his wet himself up here on the running freeway. I'm going to be a mess there. I'm doing a lot of money. I'm going to single line freeway. I'm going down there in the river. There's a riverboat there, and Daniel Boone, and I've got Davy Crockett on the hook. Going on the riverboat, going with that Mike Fink steelboat. What's going on now? Oh, it's Sky Baby Sweet Pan.
Man, that's just wrong.
The Boogie Powell Barbershop, downtown at the Cluster Mall. Come on in. Get some smelly water in your neck. Have your hair tapered and cut just beautifully. Boogie is old school. Wears that old school smock, has a lot of old guys sitting around, chewing cigars and reading magazines, telling dirty stories. But Boogie is absolutely fantastic when it comes to styling hair. You're in an old school barbershop, and you come out looking like Luis Miguel. Yes, that's right. Boogie Powell's Barbershops. They're in the Cluster Mall. There's four of them. Boogie just runs between all four. Boogie Powell's Barbershops. Get your hair cut for the first time maybe in your life decently as Boogie Powell puts your hair through the Boogie Test. Yes, Boogie will shape it, sculpt it, give it that swooped look. He'll lacquer it. No one, and I mean no one, will be able to penetrate that lacquer. Even if you need brain surgery, they won't be able to get through, so you die. Exactly. Boogie Powell's Barbershops. A new step, a modern step, in the cutting, the sculpting, and eventually the shaving off of all of your hair after Boogie gets done wrecking it. Hi, I'm Meyer Friedlum, and we do Meyer Friedlum linoleum. I can't pronounce it, but I do a great linoleum. I can do the kitchen counters, I can do the kitchen floor. Just don't ask me to say Meyer Friedman linoleum. Meyer Friedman linoleum. He can't pronounce it. In fact, he can barely speak. But Meyer Friedman linoleum. Well, see, I can't do it either. Meyer Friedman linoleum. I've been in the area when I say area, I'm not really sure where I am. 61 years. That's me. I've been here for 61 years. I'm 60 now. How's that possible? Meyer Friedman linoleum. They're in the Yellow Pages. What is the Yellow Pages? Famous Phil Henry Show of the El Pacifico in Southern California. Kind of an unusual show we have for you. Now listen, we had on the line here Jack Iagander, the voice of the Milwaukee Lions football team. I'm going to talk a little bit about Mike Lang. And we have some tape of Mike Lang. I don't know whether or not... did you get this stuff? Jack, you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I'm listening to something that sounds like a kung fu movie.
Oh, you got the music up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Jack.
I got a hold of some Mike Lang calls, and I think you're going to enjoy these. Mike Lang is everything you guys said, and more. I think that Mike Lang is one of these guys that comes along once in a blue moon, and is the type of guy that is so unique in the way that he calls a hockey game. It's really enjoyable, and like you guys are saying, everybody knows that Mike Lang has this very unique style of announcing, and he's got all these different calls. And I got some of them on the radio here, that the Pittsburgh Blab or whatever, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did that. So let me see if to bring these up. I enjoy good play-by-play, even if it's only on the radio.
Now, who influenced you, Jack?
Well, a lot of guys, you know, old Bill Ingram, Red Gooseman, who was the play-by-play for the Portland Beavers, I think, at one time.
You mean the Portland Beavers?
Dickman. Just, could you keep him way far away from me?
Bud, you know, talk about a beaver.
I'm not talking about a beaver. What a...
Hey, Bud, the port... You know it's an animal, right?
Okay.
It's an animal, the Portland Beavers. Then we had the Sacramento Slobs. I forget. The Sacramento team, or whatever they were called, they had a play-by-play guy by the name of Rex Uderman. And this guy was from Sweden. And so he'd be like, yeah... Here's the football now, or whatever it was. I think they played baseball.
What, did you listen to this guy?
Oh, yeah, religiously.
Well, what sport was it?
I mean, the guy was so good, you didn't know what sport. You forgot the sport because you just want to listen to this guy, Rex Uderman. But he'd be, yeah, up to the plate comes the man, look at the ball. And it was so fascinating. The guy was so weird. And the team needed him. I mean, the team, the Sacramento team, I don't know the name of it.
Well, the Sacramento had the Salons, didn't they?
The what?
The Salons.
What is that?
I don't know. S-O-L-O-N?
Yeah, some kind of, like the salon, like where you get your hair cut.
What do you mean, where you get your hair cut?
It's not a beauty salon. It's S-O-L-O-N.
Yeah, I don't know. Is there an animal like that, Phil?
No, I don't think so. I think salon has something to do with the sun.
Might be an animal that lives on the sun.
Yeah, that's it, Dickman. It's an animal that lives on the sun.
So...
Do you children, you know, children, children, mother's here. Would you like to take a nap instead?
Margaret, I don't come on this program that often. I would appreciate a little bit of respect and dignity. Now,
Oh, dignity, all right.
All right, so what, just play these play-by-play calls, will you?
All right, here is Mike Lang and a series of his great, great radio calls here as posted by the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, or Gazette. Here we go.
And finds it to Schultz. He's got a chance. Wristing one. Missing. The net on the rebound. Beckwith have scored on the rebound from behind the net. They have put it in. And Patrick Hornquist put it in on Green A, and the Penguins have a 1-0 lead.
What a filthy mind you got.
Oh, he is smiling like a butcher's dog.
There's
up with the Haglund. He goes to the net. Ducks it in. Carl Haglund, the empty netter, and the Penguins have a 2-0 lead. And ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.
There, that's one you didn't
One second
Phil.
Left to go.
That's right.
And the puck into the car corner, and it's all over. The Pittsburgh Penguins have won the Stanley Cup as they have defeated the Nashville Predators here in Nashville.
Well, that
2-0.
Was this year.
And you can tell your ma, you can tell your pa, I'm going to send you back to Arkansas. Stanley Cup champions 2017, the Pittsburgh Penguins.
How about that, huh? That's so there's Mike Lang, and Mike is still calling the games.
Well, that was this year, and you can tell your mom, you can tell your pa. So Mike Lang, now who was talking about the Hershey Squirts?
No, who?
I was talking to Frank, the team, the Hershey Squirts.
I've never heard of the Hershey Squirts. Were they a...
Minor league team.
Well, I know that there was a guy that, I mentioned Rex Uderman, the guy that called the Hershey Squirts, I forget his name, but...
Well, Frank knows the man's name, and he was very fascinated by him.
All right, I never heard of the Hershey Squirts. What league they play in?
Bud, do you know?
Man, he's always laughing about Hershey Squirts.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You know, that's really a stupid name to name a team, because you're going to call a team the Hershey Squirt, and this clown is going to...
But why did he call it a Squirts or a Squirt?
It was a Hershey Squirt.
Oh, it was a Hershey Squirt.
So they were one singular squirt.
May I hang up?
Yes. Sorry.
You see, there's people listening right now, Phil.
Margaret.
No, I'm going to say this. There were people listening, and they're saying, listen to the grown man Margaret. No, listen to the grown man and the two other grown men.
Now, Bob, you gotta admit.
And the two other grown men as they sit and go, doo-hoo-hoo, because someone said.
Let the record show Margaret's laughing.
That's a filthy lie, a filthy, dirty, it's a crawling lie.
Well, that's what you're doing.
No, I am not. I'm wiping my nose.
Why are you wiping your nose with newspaper?
See, you know, Phil, this is so unfair because people now have the image of me, an adult woman, a woman of style, a woman of taste, a woman of class, and a woman of culture, and I'm giggling and wiping my nose with a newspaper over Hershey Squirt.
Well, it seems to me that's what you were doing.
Well, I wasn't.
Let's say that you weren't. Let's just move past that. Thank you very much, Jack, wherever you are. Jack I. Gagner, folks, the voice of the Milwaukee Lions. And again, and the reason why I play that, I didn't tell you. I would say he's a mentor of mine. I came along and I met Neil Rogers at a pretty well-advanced period of my career, but I learned a lot from him. And
yeah, you probably learned a lot that was wrong, too.
I didn't learn anything that was wrong. I learned a lot from Neil Rogers, and he was a great broadcaster, but he was a big fan of Mike Lang's, and played his stuff on the air, and had Mike Lang on the show.
Now, Mike Lang, was he aware of Neil Rogers?
I think so. I think Neil knew him, and they got along, and they talked. Neil was a huge hockey fan, so he knew a lot of people in the National Hockey League. And, of course, when the Florida Panthers...
Oh, my God, that's right.
When the Florida Panthers started, Neil was... he had his season tickets there, man, and I actually went and saw a game with him a couple times. So
did that down in the Miami area?
That was Miami, yeah. So that was fun. Anyway, that was a nice little moment there. And I stumbled across that stuff by mistake when I was looking for something else, and I'm not even sure what it was that I was looking for. But and I sure as hell hope I found it, because you know, it's, otherwise I forgot to...
You forgot to remember.
Exactly. We're going to be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, listen, I want you to download the all-new Podcast One app. Now, this is something that can augment your Phil Henry Show listening. They now have it in the App Store, or you can get it at Google Play, or on Google Play. Is Google Play...
At Google Play, you can get apps there, too. That's my understanding.
All right, because I understand that Google Play is something else as well.
No, just at Google Play. Find out everything about your favorite shows and get more content from my show. Find articles, social media, episodes, make playlists. We've got a little more extra content over there at Podcast One of our show, that, in other words, of the new show. And it probably goes back into the spring a little bit. But it is a way of getting to know our show, the Phil Henry Show. And if you do, then we want you to become a member of our family, the Backstage Pass family. It's an entree.
When are you going to get an app?
I'm talking about the Podcast One app right now, if you don't mind. So share your favorite content, see behind-the-scenes photos, get 360-degree video, or watch a whole bunch of shows in virtual reality. There's over 1,000 videos on there right now, man. It's like you're in the studio. It looks cool with so many things you can do, including fun things like rewards for listening and much, much more. So check out the Podcast One app in the App Store or at Google Play. What?
Well, when are you going to get an app?
Yeah, talk about an app.
Let me tell you something about apps, okay? Here's what I know about apps. Number one, at Apple, because we are a subscription service, I'm not going to have an app that is going to go directly to... It's not going to log you in. It's going to stop there at the login page. So you're going to have to log in anyway. You might as well just have a bookmark on your phone.
Well, why? What good is that, Phil?
We're a subscription service. Apple wants a piece of that business, and no, I'm not going to give it to them. So, you use the, you use your phone. I think people should just bookmark our page, and you hit the bookmark, and bang, you're right there at the login.
Oh, no, wait a minute. Apple is a gigantic, portal to the I don't know anything about it, but that's what they say.
Yeah, it's a portal to all excitement that's on the internet.
Oh, is it a portal to all the excitement on the internet, huh?
Well, Phil, don't be sarcastic.
No, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm just going to say, Apple wants a whole chunk of anybody's business who is a subscription site, who charges for a subscription to their site. I'm not the only one, or say, who charges for a subscription to their material. Mark Maron has a subscription fee. Adam Carolla has a subscription fee. They do make a certain number of shows available for free, and like that. So, This has got nothing to do with Podcast One. I love Podcast One. But we're available. You know, you can go to our show if you want and learn a little bit more about our show at the Podcast One app. You learn about it on our website, philhenryshow.com. Or, hell, you can just come here and watch our pre-show where I spill my guts each and every day. How about that?
Oh, my God, Phil.
What is, Phil? It's like you resent it. I don't resent it, but that's...
Phil looks like he's pouting right now.
What? Come on, son. What's the problem? It's no problem, man. It's just, you know, I do. I put it out there.
You know, Phil, it's great if you put it out there. You know, a guy can pull his pants down and bend over and go, woohoo, and point to his butt, you know?
Yeah, point to his butthole.
I don't do that, all right?
No one's saying you do, but just because you're honest, you know...
I'm not saying... What?
If that's what some guys do.
Well, I don't. I'm just saying, I'm honest on our pre-show. Never mind.
Well, you're getting in way, way too deep. People are going to want to, they're going to want you to explain that, and you won't be able to, and you'll walk around like a, just like you're dead from the neck up.
Yeah, like you do now.
I'm sorry, he said that I didn't.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
All right, don't cry.
I'm not going to cry. Tell you what, Mavis Leonard is going to join us.
Jack, I'm already on the phone. My Arnie, yeah, I got to stand up by this, honey.
Great. Now, where's she at?
Where's that? She's at Carl's Jr.
She's at Carl's Jr.
Yeah, she's having, you having breakfast? She's having breakfast.
All right, Mavis Leonard with us now. Hey, Mavis, I want to talk to you about the Los Angeles Dodgers, your favorite team.
Yeah, I love the Dodgers. Robert, I got you wanted me to get you a Bacon Wesson cheeseburger, right?
Yeah, you have a Bacon Wesson cheeseburger and them curly fries.
We need curly fries.
Curly fries.
I'll give you a curly fries. And a bacon Western cheeseburger?
Bacon Western cheeseburger.
Who's that?
This is Phil.
I'm getting this for Robert.
I'm just explaining it to him.
Oh, I appreciate that.
Yeah, bacon Western cheeseburger.
That's for the fifth time I got that right. Yeah. And get a bacon Western cheeseburger. A bacon Western cheeseburger. Bacon Western, what's his name?
What?
What's the name of the cheeseburger?
It's called a Bacon Western Cheeseburger.
No, it's not Bacon Western. It's not Bacon Western. I'm sorry. Take it easy, Robert. You're going to get your hamburger, you get your curly fries, you get your drink. It's all going to be there for you. You'll be able to sit at the kitchen table with all that slop running down your face.
Well, you know, Mavis, you're a good aunt. Running out to get this guy breakfast. Why don't you get your own breakfast, Robert?
Come on in here. I'm working, man. God.
Yeah, I'm done. After we get off the air, you want to go over to Carl's Jr.? I'll go with you.
Man, I got to go. I got to do 100 other things.
Okay. God, just offering.
That's why I want my aunt to get a Bacon Western cheeseburger.
I got you, God.
All right, let's watch the language.
Just watch it, dear.
I got here Bacon Western cheeseburger. What'd you get, ML?
It was this.
Bacon West cheese. Is there something called Bacon West cheese?
What?
Bacon, what'd you get?
I have to have Bacon West cheese.
What about Bacon West cheese?
Bacon Western cheeseburger.
Yeah, Bacon Western cheeseburger.
No, he wants a Bacon Western cheeseburger, you ass.
I don't.
Go get it, for God. Anyway, so I'm very sorry, but, you know, I love my Carl Jr. I come over every morning.
I know you do, and it's, good for you.
You say that like, you know, you wouldn't dare come in the place yourself.
I don't eat there, no.
Phil doesn't eat there because he heard, you know, Carl Karcher was an asshole or something.
You know, Phil, I wish you would be a little bit more open-minded and quit being such a rigid liberal ass. You know, let live and let live, Phil.
It's fine. Am I asking you not to go there? Am I saying the guy should be shut down? Do I say anything about the guy's business? You're on the show, you want to eat there?
All right, well, you don't have to start giving a speech now. God damn.
Yes, you know,
I'm coming on a program. I'm eating at the Western Cheeseburger. And you come now.
You're eating where?
I'm at Waste. Where am I, Robert?
You're at Carl's Jr.
All right, I got that. God, Robert's like, at.
No, it is.
All right, we got your Bacon Western Cheeseburger. You want a curly Q fry?
Yeah, I think a curly Q.
All right.
Hey, we got to get going here.
I'm sorry. Go get it, Emma. Oh, go get the curly Q fry. So, Phil, Robert told you that I'm very concerned about Walter O'Malley and the spirit of Walter O'Malley. I think that he is restless. I think that he is not resting peacefully. And I don't think he rested peacefully all through the 80s and 90s because, you know, Walter O'Malley, the owner of the Dodgers, he died in 1979. And the Dodgers had just they were rotten, you know. They lost to the Yankees, like you said, they lost to Oakland A's.
Now, what do you mean that the spirit is restless?
I just think that's why the Dodgers not won. I mean, they have not won fit since 1988. Now, they won in 81, and they won in 88.
Well, Walter O'Malley died in 79, and they won two World Series in the 80s.
They did win two World Series in the 80s. I think Walter O'Malley said, all right, you know, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of you. I'm sick of looking at you. And he did not bless that team after that.
Well, what about in 81, 88?
I think he was cool with them then. But then he was very, and then later for that, you know.
So you're saying that Walter O'Malley got tired of the team and got disgusted by them in the hereafter?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You know, a lot of people think the hereafter is some weird, mystical place where people assume the form of animals or something. It's just like living in the world we're living in now, except you're in the afterlife. You sit around, you talk about things, and you get upset, and you get disgusted with things. Like Walter O'Malley's there in the hereafter, you're looking at the L.A. Dodgers, saying, you know, I gave my life to this.
What a waste of space.
Yeah, he's probably saying the Dodgers was a waste of space. And now he look at the Dodgers, and they stink, and they stink, and they stink. And I think now the Dodgers have a really good team.
Dodgers are doing great. They're in first place by 10 games or so. I mean, are they going to? I mean, who thinks it's not going to be the Dodgers and Astros in the World Series?
Well, you know, I think that'd be a very unfortunate World Series. Now, here's what: the Astros used to be a National League team, and you had two National League teams in a World Series. That's just funky. That's just funky.
Well, they're not anymore. They are.
I know that the Houston Astros. I think that's very unsexy.
Well, let's put it this way: Walter O'Malley would be resting easier.
But I think no. I think Walter O'Malley has decided to bless the Dodgers and to take the stink eye off of them and saying now that everything is good, you know. And now I think this is the time. I used to think his name was Edgar Casey. You know Edgar Casey?
Edgar Casey was the is he a psychic?
Yeah, he was a psychic who believed in reincarnation.
That's exactly right, Rob. He was a psychic, and he believed in reincarnation.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Who said? Edgar Casey?
No, I said it.
I know he said that. God.
All right, guys, just let Mavis talk.
Edgar O'Malley, who was owner of the team.
You mean Walter O'Malley?
I'm sorry. Walter O'Malley, who was the owner of the L.A. Dodger, he passed on in 1979, and the Dodgers have stunk to high heaven with the exception of them 2 years ever since. And so I told Robert that I think what's happening now is Edgar O'Malley is saying, yeah, I like what the Dodgers are doing right now.
You know, his name is, you keep calling him Edgar O'Malley.
Well, all right, I'm sorry, Edgar O'Malley.
It is, it's Walter O'Malley, dear.
I know it's Walter O'Malley, but I'm thinking of Edgar Casey. Now,
what did Edgar Casey, what does he have to do with Walter O'Malley?
What do you mean, what does he have to do with him? What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you're the one that brought him up.
I said Edgar Casey was a psychic, and he believed in reincarnation.
Do you think that Walter O'Malley shares that with Edgar Casey?
I think Edgar O'Malley, who owned a Dodger...
His name is Walter O'Malley.
I think Walter... Walt?
Not Walter O'Malley.
I didn't see Walt. What's his name?
Walter O'Malley.
Why did I think it was Waldo? Well?
I don't know, dear. His name is Walter O'Malley. You called him Waldo O'Malley, and you called him Edgar O'Malley.
I'm sorry. I'm confusing everybody.
Yeah, confusing me, too. That's just a little confusing.
Dickman, it's that hard confusing you. I can confuse you. All I have to do is stand up and go, I had to go to the toilet, and you'll be, what? I don't understand. And you'll walk outside and step in front of a bus.
We're talking to Mavis Leonard here about the Dodgers and how she believes the spirit of Edgar O'Malley is finally smiling on. So that's why they're having this great season.
I think so too. I think that Walter O'Malley is smiling on the team. I think he has finally said, you know what? I think I'm going to get up. I'm going to give him a break. After the longest time, it disappointed me and broke my heart. Because you know, Phil, when Walter O'Malley died, the Dodgers lost three World Series in the 70s. And I think that broke his heart. And I think he went to his, after he died and got that over with, he's in the hereafter. He goes, okay, and now I'm dead. And I look back on the 70s, and man, they upped my giggy with a wall walker.
So you think out there like he's getting his revenge?
I, I think he immediately got his revenge. As soon as he died and as soon as he was, you know, in his hereafter robe and he had his angel wings and they gave him his harp, then he said, all right, now let's go to work. And just messed him up.
Well, what kind of a hero? So he almost was like a demon.
I think there for a while, Walter O'Malley was involved with a demon because he was messing Dodgers up. Man, he was messing them around all bad.
Now, you talk about Walter O'Malley being a demon. There's no way.
But you talk about him being in hell.
I didn't say hell. I'm saying that Edgar O'Malley was a demon. I'm sorry. Walter O'Malley was a demon.
Not Waldo and not Edgar. Walter.
Walter O'Malley was the demon for a while because he messed the Dodgers around. But then he finally said, I'm going to cut him a break. And today, Edgar O'Malley, not Edgar.
Walter?
Yeah, Walter O'Malley today is now, he's made amends with the Dodger, and he is all good, you know.
Well, that's an interesting concept, dear, but with all due respect...
You don't have to say it, Margaret. I know what you're going to say. With all due respect, you know, it's way out there, and I don't believe it. I understand that. But I do, because I grew up in South Carolina, and there was a lot, and the Gullah people were down there.
The Gullah people are the people who would have a lot of original African artwork?
Yeah, they have. What do you mean, original African artwork?
Well, they did do a lot of stuff like the Sierra Leone people do.
Yeah, that's right, but I mean, whatever. Listen to you two clowns talking about it.
Look, I don't know a lot about it.
No, I know you don't, but just don't worry about it. I was in South Africa, Phil.
You mean South Carolina?
Oh, I'm sorry, South Carolina, with same difference. I was in South Carolina.
Boy, they're not going to like that comment in South Carolina.
You ask me if I can. So I was in South Carolina, and I'm hanging out with some of the Gullah people, and they say, what do you think about Walter O'Malley? I said,
Walter O'Malley.
I said Walter.
You said Waldo.
Well, what difference does it make for...
Not a guy's name is Walter.
Waldo is the same thing, isn't it?
No, it's Waldo.
No, it's Waldo.
Mavis, thank you very much. We hope that Edgar O'Malley...
His name's Walter O'Malley.
Walter O'Malley. It will continue to smile on the Dodgers, and that they will continue their run in the playoffs and...
And what?
And win the World Series.
There you go, bingo. They have to win a World Series. Otherwise, Waldo or Edgar or whatever, I don't care what his name is, all right? He's going to be sitting in the hereafter saying, all right, I think I'm going to go demon on them again. I want to put on demon wing and get a pitchfork. Because when you die and you know you go to the other side, they give you either angel wings and you get a harp, or you get a pitchfork and whipped feet. And you have to go around.
What do you mean, webbed feet?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Well, every picture you see of a demon...
I've seen devils with those webbed wings.
No, you get webbed feet. Everybody knows you get webbed feet and a duck bill.
When you die and go to hell.
When you become a demon, yeah.
So in other words, you look like a duck.
No, I got a curly fry now. Take those curly fries and throw them in the street.
Oh, man.
I don't care.
Mavis, thank you very much. Thank you.
Hello, this piece of shit.
Webbed feet. You know something? I don't know where her belief system is rooted.
Well, but, you know, my auntie, she comes from old school, old religion. And a lot of it, you know, is original African religion. That is melded with the Christian religion.
Well, everyone knows that's the root of voodoo. That is the Christian religion that had melded up with African religion.
I thought it was like Catholicism.
What, it's not a Christian religion?
Yeah, it's a Christian religion. I mean, it's depending on who you talk to. Some people don't think it is. But yeah, Catholicism and the African, whatever you call it, animist... It's a lot of animal worship in pagan African religion, yes. But then you have Islam, which is prominent in Africa now.
Yeah, well, that's right, you know,
You almost sounded like Bud again.
Yeah, a lot of times I'm not sure what to do. Go ahead, General.
Yeah, that's, Islam is the established religion. But we're talking about some of the pagan rites, and so on and so forth.
Yes, well, and what we have there then are those basic animist religions, and then melding with Catholicism, we've got Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, well... Catholicism, you got Bela Lugosi, the guy with white eyes.
Yeah, a guy with white eyes staggering down a street, you know, nothing more than a hospital gown.
You add it to what? You add it to Catholicism and the animist religions of Africa, and you got a guy, Bela Lugosi,
in a hospital gown staggering down the street with white eyes.
Boy, that took you long enough.
Yeah, carry it, Sandy. Pick it up, will you?
Yeah, okay, I'll pick it up. Thank you very much, Mavis. Great to have you on the show. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We want to do one more thing before we split. I wanted to show you guys this video of Frankie Bell. Do you know who this is?
I know Frankie Bell of the Bell Boys, and I know the video you're about to show us has got nothing to do with them.
Well, it's Frankie Bell after he left the Bell Boys. Freddie Bell and his wife, Roberta Lynn, in about the goofiest-looking thing you ever saw in your life. And it's on a thing called a Scopiatone. Margaret, you know about this?
Yes, the Scopiatone was popular back in the 60s. They wanted to turn this into it. In other words, it was the original music video. And they wanted to put these in jukeboxes so you would watch this video as you listened to the music. No one at that time had any concept of it being on television or on a music channel. But here it is now.
The Scopiatone. Here we go.
What's this?
It's the Scopiatone, man.
Yes, those are go-go dancers.
Go-go dancers? They're dressed like Indians.
Right, there's Freddie.
We'll gather stars out of the blue.
Now, there's Freddie Bell. Is this the guy that did Hound Dog? Yeah, Freddie Bell.
I think this is wonderful.
Well, and Margaret, you're in this.
I am. I'm second. There I am. The one in the middle.
What the hell?
Bud, don't do it.
Margaret, that's you in the middle, huh?
Yes, I had a small part in this.
Over the highway and over the street.
Over the highway and over the street.
Over, I'll lay at your feet.
Oh. Yeah, something tells me Freddie wrote this.
What the hell's he doing?
That's go-go dancing, for God's sake.
Holy Christ, look at this guy in the red cowboy shirt.
Yeah, well, he's,
he's what?
I don't know.
Look at these women that are standing there dancing. Is that you, Margaret?
That's me. I'm second from the right. I'm shaking my head and going, wee!
Margaret, I didn't even show people it.
You're plugging the fact that it's a video and you're not even showing them that.
This world that I'd rather do for you.
What was this like?
Freddie was wonderful, and
look at that piece of tail.
Excuse me, Freddie and his wife were wonderful. We had a good time. He was very generous. The crew was a little rude, and the other gals that I was...
Margaret, did you see you were doing that head jerk thing?
What do you mean by head jerk thing?
What are you doing there?
I'm dancing.
Who's this chick on the horse?
Her name was Wendy Shulame, and she was an aspiring dancer, very good dancer. Here she is now.
That's the Wendy Shulame.
Yeah, but this people hated the fact that she was doing a Native American act here. But you can see she's put together.
Yeah, look at Freddie, he's going after her.
That's not Freddie, that was the other dancer, Lang Rutabaga.
Lang Rutabaga?
Yes.
Is that really his name?
No, I'm making it up, but I...
Why don't we get real names around here?
We've got real names.
Why don't you... Why don't...
Look at the lady, she's spanking herself.
All right, so anyway, that's Freddie Bell.
There's Margaret in the middle there. Now, Margaret, I want to ask something. Were you just starting out dancing?
What kind of a wisecrack is that?
You look like you're not in time.
As a matter of fact, yes, I had just started dancing.
This guy, Freddie Bell, looks like... I mean, he was like a real dancer, huh?
Oh, Freddie Bell knew all the latest styles and all the latest dance techniques. He was wonderful, yes.
Now, the other guy you said was Langingham, what?
I don't know what his name was, but he was a delightful man. He didn't say much. Yes, he was gay, but...
You know that.
You could assume that, I think, Bud, when another man came to pick him up and they were making out in the...
All right,
in the car.
So...
What the hell is this?
It's another Scopiatone. These are called Scopiatones, folks. You can go to YouTube and look up the word Scopiatone, Scopiatones. They were early music videos that the creators wanted to put into music video jukeboxes.
And I never quite took off, huh?
Do you remember at any time in your life seeing those? Because I do.
Where'd you see those?
I don't know. There would be... Certain places, like record stores.
Well, yes, I would imagine a lot of the record stores that existed, they don't exist anymore, would have that.
And I don't remember, would they be in nightclubs?
I guess, you know, or someplace where teens hang out, but they didn't take off. It was not what, and they were made in Italy.
Well, right there, there's one reason why I would, what's wrong with going to doing stuff in Italy?
I didn't say anything about doing stuff in Italy. It was made in Italy. Right away, you know it's going to blow up. Just for self-preservation.
Yeah, it's probably going to blow up.
What do you mean?
What do you mean, blow up?
I'm not going to put something in my house. Now, a car, yes. Italian food, yes. But the Scopatone with this guy, Freddie Bell, forget it. You put that together with Italian, and it's going to blow up and burn your home to the ground. What a sad case you are.
To laugh at something like that, Phil.
Yeah, that's me. That's Phil Henry, the sad case. All right, sports fans, I certainly do hope you enjoyed that. What the hell are we looking at here?
This is one of your Scopatones.
Thank you very much, girls. That was...
Yeah, that was wonderful, girls. Thanks a lot.
All right, well, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by me, Phil Henry, for CMPR Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One.
I'm Margaret Gray. Oh, we never did get to the Art Battaglia.
What about him?
That Art Battaglia show was the worst thing I think you've ever done.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, man, it was... Goddamn, you just kept going on and on and on.
Well, thank you for the review.
I'm just telling you, Phil, don't do it again. Don't do it again. I'm Margaret Gray.
Yeah, sure.
I'm warning you, Phil.
Warn me?
Phil, we're warning you.
Don't do it again.